time for the podcast.
Okay, now we can start.
He does
love
it
every time.
Every week he does it.
I love it.
So we're excited. Today we have some of our radio friends. You know, the whole thing about the podcast is it is a little different than our regular show in that we talk about things going on behind the scenes and in the business and, you know, what we're going through and blah, blah, blah. We're excited because some of our friends, JR from Schumann from Orlando, we got Eddie Haskell from Denver, and then Bubba from Houma.
What you're supposed to do is whenever you say JR Schumann from Orlando, you're supposed to say, hi there. That way people know your voice.
Hi there.
Wow, that's great. Eddie Haskell from Denver.
Hi there.
Okay, that was good. Well, that was Bieber.
Hey there.
Big D.
How long have you
been? From Cookeville, Tennessee.
Eddie, how long have you been doing radio?
35 years, maybe.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Started when I was 4. No, we were in Nashville, and a guy walked up to me in the elevator. He said, "You were my first ad as a record rep." So these record guys try to get radio stations to play their songs. Mm-hmm. I was the first guy to ever play a song for him, and he said, "That was 19 years ago." I was like, "Shut the hell up! Get off this elevator!"
Kick to the groin.
What song was it?
It was a Billy Montana song.
Wow, was it Billy Montana who actually you saw there,
or was it this?
He was Billy actually then? Working the elevator. Actually,
oh,
what?
Come on, dude.
What?
Too soon.
I was going to say it was 19 years ago.
Too soon.
It's too soon.
In 19 years, surely Billy Montana knows.
Not always. You can't assume that. You cannot, sure, because I know you've run into those people and you're like, yeah, that happened. It's gone.
How long have you been doing it, Jared?
I've actually been in radio just about 10 years. This is actually a second career for me. I was a paramedic in my first life.
Were you really?
Really?
Yeah.
We had a friend of ours who did the same thing. He's in radio now and he was a paramedic. And he's like, man, I went and I worked a motorcycle accident. And he said the guy wasn't wearing a helmet. And he said it was the nastiest thing I ever saw. And I said, I need a new career. And that's when he went and applied at a radio station. They're like, what are your qualifications? He's like, CPR? They're like, you're hired.
Which actually is probably a useful qualification in radio.
Yeah.
CPR, especially, you never know.
Especially probably 10, 15 years ago when like 80% of the people had coke issues.
Right.
Dude, has Bubba ever told you all his coke story?
Miami. Yes. I worked with a guy who had a major coke problem, and we did this big fair, you know, at whatever the fairgrounds were. So, Hialeah, this and that, whatever. So we go out there, and the
you being from Orlando, this is going to be really funny to you.
The competitor had, you know, the dolphins are the thing, man. It's Miami. So they had this big, giant inflatable dolphin.
Oh, I hate radio. What are we doing?
We have a giant inflatable dolphin. So anyway,
Your picture with it.
Yeah, it was like the sports station or something. Well, anyway, my bud was so coked out that he saw it and he's like, it's screwing with me, man. It's like, it's screwing with me, man. It's taunting me, bro. It's like, and he's just getting all, you know how, like, you know, you get jittery. You've seen your bud.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Everybody has that one friend.
I mean, he looks at me and he goes, you know, and I'm like, no, I don't.
No,
I,
but
I
you,
don't.
Dude, you're in radio. I mean, if you've never met somebody with a substance abuse issue,
you're lying to yourself.
You are the biggest liar. It's the same thing with music, too. So this guy's like, he's taunting me, man. So finally he goes to the truck, and like we had like a station vehicle, but we also had a support vehicle for the engineers. And where does that usually go? That goes out to the transmitter sites and all that.
Right.
And in South Florida, what is the transmitter site when you go there? It's
swamp.
Completely overgrown swamp. So he goes in there and grabs a machete out of the vehicle, and he runs across the fairgrounds. I'm a millionaire! This wild man waving a machete, and he goes and he just starts stabbing and swiping like he's a Filipino, you know, jungle fighter. And he's just killing the dolphin. So, like, he gets arrested, and he was
actually promoted and moved up within the company.
Right.
When I was in Montana, we were the dog. It was the station called the dog.
You have one of the inflatables too?
We had a big giant inflatable
dog?
Bulldog.
Yeah.
And so what I would do it would get, I mean, we were being at a car lot. And after I'd fed all of the car dealer salespeople,
after they ate pizza, all the free pizza,
all the free hot dogs,
yes,
and taken all of the CDs,
haven't radio learned that lesson? Don't bring food to the remotes, the broadcast. So
it dies down, you know, and I would just get bored. So on the side, on the back of one of the legs of this dog, there was a Velcro strip and a zipper to let the air out when you were finished. So as the air is blowing up into this dog from the feet, I would unzip the leg and crawl in it and zip it back down. And then a bud of mine would go, okay, there's a kid coming up. He's about to be here. And he would go, I'd hear out through the, it's real loud, you know, with the blower. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
You want to talk to the dog?
Yeah.
tell him your name. Hi. And I would go, hello. And the kids would freak out. How are you today?
No. But you had to tie those down, you know, those big inflatables, because they're 30 feet tall. You had to tie them down to like station vehicles or whatnot. We did a car dealer remote one time, broadcast. That's the word in radio. They always say remote. So we do this radio, this broadcast at the car dealership. And it was a brand new promotions person who goes out and sets up the inflatable. She tied it off to the side view mirrors on cars that were on the lot for sale. So this windstorm comes through and it blows the inflatable over and it rips the mirrors off of the vehicles.
Yeah. How many radio stories involve I was at a remote and a windstorm came
right
through?
Dude, those tents, how many of us have watched those tents take off like Mary Poppins?
Oh my God. And you can tell the rookies because they're grabbing it.
Yeah. Right.
Those who've done this before stand back and go, we lost another 10. And two interns.
Right. Yeah. If you ever see like the radio station tents at the broadcast and they look all beat up and dirty, there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Because they have flown several city blocks.
I used to have, when I was one of my first jobs in radio, I'd gotten moved up to the FM signal. We had a...
Big timer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was
the station that stays on 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
In stereo.
Yeah, dude. And it was an oldie station, and I was like 18, and I have no idea what the format is. You know, I'm completely clueless. But anyway, it was Halloween night, and we had one of those where they have an open house, and they come by, and we check your candy, like we have some sort of ability
right
to do that. And so
looks good.
Next.
There's no liability with that, is there? But the radio station said.
He's holding a Hershey bar with a flashlight trying to see through it. And so these kids came by, and our night guy, he was like dressed as Dracula or something equally stupid. And so they left, and I went by there and said, hey, listen, Dave, I'll see you later, man. I'll see you Monday. And he's like, all right. Well, I had gone back in the back and unlocked the back door. I go back there and I go, we'll see you later, man. He goes, okay, fine. So me and a couple of buds of mine went back 15 minutes before midnight. He gets off the air. And we have dusters on, like big, long duster coats and ski masks. And starter pistols. And so we go into down the hall into the building. We can hear, you know, whenever he would go live on the air, we would, you know, move because we knew he couldn't move. And I never forget, he was coming out of some Chuck Berry song or something. He goes, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. y'all have a great weekend, and be careful. Watch out for the ghostly goblins out there. About that time, we literally kicked the door in. I dropped to a knee. My bud comes over my shoulder, and we put four shots in him. Boom, 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 boom. And he's standing
with
there.
With the blanks, right?
With the blanks. And he's standing there completely, like, in awe, like he's just been shot. And he goes, And he's not saying a word. And I rip my mask off and I go, Dave, it's D. He goes, Why? Live on the air, he's like, you get the mic open. It's like, why? And I'm like, he was in shock. I had to go.
He thought he really had gotten shot.
Oh yeah, and on the air, I was afraid he's gonna drop the F bomb.
Right,
and all kinds
right.
of stuff.
Yeah, why is probably the best outcome.
Mother,
dude, yeah. We used to do that. Oh God, this is gonna be a fun podcast because we all have a bazillion of these
right.
stories. There was a kid, he was a part-timer, he had, you know, maybe been in radio 6 months. Whenever you're on the air, you're listening to the feed coming back through a regular radio. Well, normally it's in the room that the studio is in. However, at this one place, it was not. So I went into the other room, and while I waited for him to go on the air, so he flips it on 96.7 FM. And as soon as he started talking, I flipped the preset to our competitor. So he's on the air. Everything's fine, but it sounds like somebody else has pirated his headphones or the radio station. He's like, this is illegal. This is illegal. Someone call the cops. And he's screaming all this. This is illegal.
Can you imagine what kind of a madman he sounded like?
The song stopped, you know, and he's like, someone call the cops. And he's banging on all kinds of stuff, and he's flipping buttons, and stuff's firing off. There's 17 things playing at the same time on the real radio, but what he's hearing is the competitor. He used to leave his keys in the parking garage. He would leave his keys in the car. So we stole his car one day and drove it, like, around the block. And he comes out after his shift, and he's like, my car's stolen.
Golly. So
I mean, great. I didn't do any of that.
I worked at a radio station. Radio station was on, like, the fifth or sixth floor. And our night guy smoked. And so he would put on a long song.
For
and
his
then
break.
Run downstairs, smoke a cigarette, and then catch the elevator back up and go back on the air. And so he did this. About every other song, I think, really. And so I see him come out of the studio, goes, takes the elevator downstairs. Well, I called the elevator back up, and I put a trash can and held the elevator on the floor of the radio. So he smokes a cigarette, comes back, hits the button.
That's so great.
And he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's looking at his watch, and he's waiting. It's like, and he realizes he's running out of time. He's in the elevator for whatever reason isn't coming, and he's six floors down and runs up the steps upstairs, six floors.
And he's a smoker.
He's a smoker, right? Gets into the he go the song he gets in the studio right as the well he gets up to the floor, realizes what I've done with the trash can, and I, of course, at that point he's near death at the, right. You know, so there's not a whole lot he can do. I felt safe, so I kick the trash can out, take the elevator down, and listen, turns on the radio, and all you hear is God. And he said, I don't remember what the caller was or what song he was playing. But I said, George Strait. Oh, forget it. And that's what he ends the break with, forget it.
He actually said, forget it.
He went on, yeah, he was trying, God bless him. And yeah, he tried so hard. But yeah, I mean, sweat. I mean, you wouldn't believe it was a mess. That's one of the meanest things I've ever done to somebody.
I miss that part of radio, being able to screw with the people that were in the buildings with you.
Nowadays, I mean, there's no one around.
Everybody, right? When you listen to the radio now, except for like when we're on, and obviously you guys do it the cool way too, everybody is taped, and it's all on they did it the day before.
And I'm just going to say, from a management's perspective, after hearing these stories, it's probably a good idea.
Maybe.
We're sorry your radio sounded so horrible tonight, but you should have seen the look on his face. It was awesome.
You know, that was fun. We used to do, you know, back in the day, we used to play carts, which are these tapes that would have, like, the announcer voice who would go on and go, B45, you know, whatever. We used to go
pumping the wattage into your cottage.
We used to go and we would tape the competitor, and then what we would do is re-record the competitor's little jingle Q104 on the tape on the cart, and we would put it in the thing and labeled the same way. And somebody would go to hit it on the thing, and they would freak out. You would hear them melt down because all of a sudden they just played the competitor. But they would do it at like at 2 a.m. when nobody heard, like 4 people, and no one actually really noticed.
Did y'all have jingles?
We had jingles, man.
Wow.
We did.
Wow.
We had another station I worked for. They called it Z100 so they could steal the jingles off of the demos from the Z100 New York.
Who hasn't done that?
That's brilliant. I'll
tell. Except every once in a while you'd hear, dun dun a Z100, cut five. Only radio people got only radio people got that one.
Yeah, we used to do that. My old boss, man, we would get these demos for jingles and production music libraries, and those are always the best, you know, for like promos that you wanted to go and have underneath the Azure. But our guy, he was horrible at editing. So it would be like the original weather jingle for like Hartford, Connecticut. And so you would hear Hartford weather. And well, he would cut it. He would just cut it and he would go weather. And then the music would never match. Like,
and then like it was only like a 4 second thing before on the demo they would go, insert your local weather here.
Right.
But they would loop that 4 seconds and it was just horribly done. I missed that. Let's start
one of my favorite things about small market radio were the unique sponsorships that you would that salespeople would sell. I will never forget. We carried, of course, all the high school sports on the radio station, and during the football season, they sold the player of the game to the local funeral home.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, player of the game brought to you by Riley Family Funeral Home. I'm like, how am I supposed to? Congratulations, Tommy. You are the Riley Family Funeral Home player of the game. You killed them tonight, brother. Where do you go with that?
Did you guys make that joke, or would the Riley Family Funeral Home get mad if you did it?
Oh yeah, well, no, you could never say. You had to play it straight. You had to play it straight. Yeah,
Riley we used to have to do. We did.
They were the biggest sponsor on the radio station, by the way.
Yeah, were they doing obituaries too?
On the morning show. Yeah.
Gladys,
beloved mother, beloved mother.
She survived by
in lieu of flowers.
Right. Man,
we used to have to. And yeah, we. I'm like, why would a funeral home have like? Why do they need to advertise?
You only have like a half a dozen places to go in town.
We had two in Cookeville. When I grew up, we had two.
Right. Well, they had to be the number one.
Has anybody ever chosen based on advertising? We should call Mitchell Brothers because
Tommy got player of the game.
I hear Big D every morning doing the obituaries, and it sounds like a pleasant place.
They sound like nice people.
How do you pick that?
People are dying to get. Never mind. That was my dad joke.
Do you go for the lowest price? I mean, is it competitively priced?
They're running a special,
right?
Do they funeral homes run specials?
How do you pick a funeral?
No, I don't think they ever have sales.
No,
I mean,
it's a coffin blowout this weekend only.
We should really talk about adjusting grandma's medication because there's a sale.
I normally only take three, honey.
I mean, she's got 6 months, maybe, and the sale ends Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, and then can you believe Grandma died on President's Day? What are the chances of that?
What are the
Hurry,
chances?
Sale in Saturday.
Did you guys ever have to cut spots where you have to... You know,
spots are commercials.
Yes. Yeah, commercials, sorry.
There's a lot of non-radio people listening. Yeah, our little lingo.
Golly, man, we used to...
And no offense to the Riley Family Funeral Home if they're listening to this broadcast.
Pretty sure they're not. But yeah, we used to have to call... You cut a spot, a commercial, and then you'd have to call...
Play the commercial.
That was the worst. Because it's like Friday at 5 o'clock, right, and you're ready to go. And so you're like, we didn't have like a system where you play it online. You held the phone up to your headphone speaker.
And it always worked better. Oh, your headphones is a great trick. I didn't learn that one for a couple of years. I would hold it up to the tweeter.
Yeah, and so I would go, hello. Yeah, hey.
Mr. Riley?
Yeah, this is Mr. Riley. Hey, this is Big D at the radio station. Yeah. I wanted to make sure that you're ready to listen to your commercial, make sure it's okay. Okay.
Well, and that was the big mistake right there. You said to make sure it's okay because that invited them to find something wrong.
Here I go. I put the phone up to my headphone. You play it.
At O'Reilly Funeral Homes, we believe in the sanctity of your family. Sale ends Saturday.
And I would go, all right, everything okay? Hold on a second. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And then there's always some, can you take out? No, we don't. We've extended that sale to Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I love the fact that for whatever reason, the clients believe that it's much easier if you just change one word in the middle of the
right.
slide.
Right.
Yeah. Can you just
don't change the whole thing. Just that one word in the middle of the sentence.
It's perfect, but.
Right.
And back then, you didn't have recording capabilities. Like it was one take, and it took you probably an hour to get it just right. Yeah. To time it to exactly 29.9 seconds.
Yeah, and this is my fault. I told you the last four of our phone number was 4978. It's
that's,
not.
That's
it's
my house number.
It's my home
right,
number.
Right.
I need to just, it's real easy. Just flip those last two numbers, and instead of 87, it's 78. It's like, you can't just go in and flip the numbers. Yeah. Like, I don't know why.
You know what you do is you back then, it was on tape, so what you do is just flip it backwards. So it'd be 87. It plays in reverse. You told me to flip the numbers.
Maddie, what's the dumbest promotion you've ever had to do for a radio station? They come to you and they're like, "Hey, Eddie, we wanna do this promotion, and it involves giving away." One time, dude, guys, we did a cue to call for a station. I am not kidding you. I had to ask
the
producer.
Is this for the spreadable?
Yeah. I go, is this right? He goes, yeah, that's right. I said, okay. Hey, caller 10, you're going to win a package of Alouette spreadable cheese if you're caller 10 right now on the line.
They want you because these ad agencies put all this stuff together and they have no idea how radio works or what people will do. We've kind of learned as the listeners know there's only so much you're going to do. You got a day going on here.
Yeah.
And
we're kind
did
of background
one,
noise.
Yeah. We did one that one of the major soft drinks was doing. And I don't know, it was around 4th of July. And it was send an essay, because that works on the radio. Right?
Wow.
An essay.
Yes.
On, you know, 150 words or less. What the Statue of Liberty means to me.
Oh, wow.
And win a trip to New York City. And on the day we were drawing, I called one of my friends and I said, would you please write, it's a symbol of our freedom, your name and phone number, and send it to this fax number so you can go to New York City.
Because no one,
no
had done
one entered. Not one person
entered.
That was
too much work.
Yeah. But it really wasn't. You had to write, it's pretty cool, and you'd win.
I got a friend of mine.
Hey, you're going to New York City.
Hey!
They, this station was in Memphis, and they had spent 3 months doing this promotion. They were giving away a $250,000 home, and they had been doing this. It was over everything on the radio. If you turn the radio station on, you heard about this promotion, how you can win this $250,000 home. So this went on for 3 months. They are just, you know how we are in radio. We get on something and ride it. We hammer it, man.
It's a book promotion.
It's for the ratings.
And runs so, the entire book.
That's all you hear about. And so they get down to, they're calling the winner. And so they're taping it ahead of time. They're not doing it live. They're taping it about 10 minutes before it airs. So they're in the studio, and they draw the name out. And they go, oh, okay, we got it. So the afternoon guy comes in there, and he goes, all right, here we go. Let's call him. Hello. Hey, is this Charles Smith? Yeah. Charles, this is Mad Max at at Q95. Yeah, I hope. Of course, you know we're in radio. We got the right.
So dramatic.
Do you have a drum roll?
Yeah, hold on.
This is it. Yeah. We're calling you to tell you you just won the $250,000 home. Okay.
Do what?
That's all he got. Okay. And the guy, Mad Max, goes, No, I mean, you won the heart. You won it. Yeah, I heard you. Max says, he goes, he stops recording. He goes, hey, Charles, listen. For the last 3 months, we've been talking about this stupid home that we're giving away. I'm going to do this one more time. And if you don't come through that phone and act like you're more excited than you've ever been in your life, I'm going to hang up with you and I'm going to call and give it to someone else. So the guy goes, all right. He goes, okay, here we go.
Hey, it's Matt.
Is this Charles? He goes, yeah. Charles, this is Mad Max at Q95. I wanted to let you know, you just won the $250,000 home! Woo! Charles goes, holy sh**, I won! Oh my God. Just so great. Oh, it's just the best.
Got what you asked for.
Got what you wanted, man.
I was working in a small market radio station, and we did a contest. I don't even remember what we were giving away. So I'm on the air, and you're selling it. I mean, it's small. It's the first pair of concert tickets we've ever had at the radio station ever.
Oh yeah.
And you getting to give them away.
Was it Billy Montana?
I played that record.
And so I go on the air and I'm like, caller number 9, I'll hook you up with a pair of tickets, blah, 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 blah. Go through the calls, get to caller number 9. Hey, you're caller number 9, you win. Great, I was caller 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, 2.
Oh, that's the best.
Yes.
Like, you and one other person are listening to my radio station right now.
And the other person has a rotary dial.
And they're sitting right next to me. We have in radio, we have a thing called prize pigs, and it is people who all they do is try and win. And I've been doing this since I was 14. I don't even know how these people do it. They get through every time to win. It doesn't matter what
they win
it is.
Everything.
It can be a coaster to a concert ticket to a trip to New York.
And I'm not going to discredit them because you know what? That's why we do the contest. So somebody wins.
Yeah, but not the same person every time.
I know. You want everybody to win.
I mean, it would get to the point where we would go. It would be like, oh, who's this?
Margie.
And right. Like, oh.
Right. None of us has ever
Margie,
done that.
You're caller number 8.
Oh, you're number 8. Try again, Margie. Never has that happened because that wouldn't be legal.
Yes.
But it would be an idea if a fella might be, I don't know, unethical.
Oh, that's the best. And they know because we're so excited. Right. Hey, who's this?
Hey, who's this? Because you've got that you're about to win voice.
Yeah. This is Margie.
It's like
Margie.
Here's our robotic response. Hey, you're caller 7. Hey, you're caller 8. Try again. Hey, you're caller 9. Try again. Hey, Q102, who's this?
We're looking for caller 10. What's your name?
And by the way, she knows because she was caller 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh my gosh!
There's actually a show on TV about those people later in life. It's called Hoarders. One of the best stories.
As they're
ever,
going through their $250,000 home, they won.
One of the best stories ever involves a radio guy from Dallas named Fast Eddie Coyle, and his claim to fame is he was on KSCS in Dallas. He made it on TV. A clip of his air shift is on TV, and in fact, you can probably see it in reruns. There's a guy getting pulled out of a truck on Cops right as the Fast Eddie Coyle goes on the radio. He's listening to KSCS in his pickup as the cops are dragging him out through the window.
Oh, awesome. So you can hear
and
the radio station?
96.3 KSCS, the best country. It's Fast Eddie Coyle. And he goes through the whole thing. You could hear, but of course, the guy's blasting, like whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Fast Eddie Coyle on Cops. It's the funniest clip. I'll have to find it and send it to you.
It's on YouTube.
It's brilliant.
There. I think you're going to tell that there's a guy. guy. I think it was in, I can't remember where he was. I want to say it was a Baton Rouge thing. It might have been somewhere else. But they hired this guy to go in and do mornings, and he was going to start on Monday morning. So he's new to town, you know, he doesn't know anybody. And that night, the police did a big prostitution sting.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And he had the only, it was the morning guy who just moved there, who was going to start the next day.
He hadn't even been on the air yet.
No, they gave him a station t-shirt. That's all he had. He had a station t-shirt as they're dragging him out, and the TV cameras are on him. And there he is, whatever the call letters were. I forget where it was now. And they're calling the GM. Hey, we're not going to be able to get that show started Monday.
He should have just gone on. He could have picked somebody up on the phone.
Oh, that's a whole nother thing.
Oh, my God.
You know what Bubba used to do? Dude, yep. You know what Bubba used to do when he was a kid?
So in my younger radio days, when I was a single man, we used to have a nice little method. It was the Taco Bell method. Everybody had their own method.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you work in a nice college town, and you have these cute girls call, and you're like, oh, yeah. So you're like, you know, she sounds pretty hot. So, and my wife is listening to this. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry.
It was long before you called me, hon.
You know, I met her. That's another story. So we would have the Taco Bell method. We'd be like, hey, I'm hungry. Why don't you bring me some Taco Bell?
You're saying this off the air.
Yeah, off the air. Off the air.
Go ahead.
My children may listen too. So, so these girls would bring Taco Bell up. So what we would do is I would have the guy from either the AM station that was working there at the same time, or like the overnight guy when you're getting close to shift change, I'd have them go open the door, and we would do the same thing for each other. I would help him. So
help him.
you go to the door, and if the girl's hot, they would let them in. Oh, come on in. Bring it to him. Yeah, right. Get to meet him. And all that kind of stuff.
Get to meet him.
And then, like, you know,
M-E-A-T.
If not, they would just go and say, you go, oh, thanks for the Taco Bell. You're awesome. Here's a t-shirt or a koozie. Whatever. Have a nice day. And so we would run interference for each other. And you can't say you never did anything near like that.
I did the wardrobe change.
What's the...
We'd talk, and I'm like, she sounds cute. You know, maybe meet me at the 7-Eleven at 23rd and May after I get off the air.
Okay.
I'm going to be wearing a blue T-shirt and black pants. And you would show up and... In, by the way, a red shirt.
You know, this
and
stuff
jeans.
Is all going on right now on the internet. You do know that, right?
You know, Chris Hansen's going to walk up to you and go, what are you doing with the six pack of beer?
So I would wear the red shirt and jeans that I was wearing when I answered the phone, and I would walk into the 7-Eleven and I would see the cute girl and go, hey.
I spilled coffee.
I'm Eddie Haskell.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what? I changed. I didn't even think about the shirt I was wearing. I spilled some coffee. Whatever. Ugly girl. And it was like, boom.
She'd walk right by.
She would always look at you like, you lying son. I know that's you
know
in
that's
the red
you.
Shirt.
This is pre-Twitter.
This is before internet, you know? There's no websites.
Now, I wouldn't do this, but some of the people I have working, every contest winner, Facebook is up. Jessica. Oh, hang on. Hey, nice. And then send a friend request.
Wow.
And it's like, man, you guys are good. I wish I had these tools. We had to make up stories to try to judge whether they were ugly by their voice,
which is the worst thing you can do ever. I mean, they never sound or look like they sound.
Now, and
ever
in defense. Neither do radio people.
Well, right.
No.
Right.
None of us look like the way we sound. What's the first thing people say when they meet you? Oh, I didn't expect you to look blah, 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 blah this way. You're younger. You're older. You're this. You're that. You're fat. You're skinny. Whatever.
Right. And then we say, and neither did I ever with you. Like, yeah. Wow. Like, holy cow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the station manager's calling me. Can I get back to you? Are you going to be here for a while?
If I ever did the Taco Bell one, I would do that. I didn't have a producer that could go work the door, so I'd run to the door looking very frantic. And be like, hey, What's up? Thank you so much. Dude, my boss showed up. I can't have anybody in the building. It's against the rules. I'd bring you in, but you know, maybe next time. But thanks for the food. But God, By the way,
you couldn't back then. I don't know about now. I mean, because we have our own little thing. But
right.
You couldn't bring guests into the studio.
No.
When you're on the air, you used to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever have a stalker?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I always had a bad one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Freaked me out.
Yeah.
Similar situation, girl, start talking on the air, blah, blah, blah. She shows up at a remote. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. She's like, hey, we talked on the phone last night. Oh, yeah, yeah, nice to meet you, whatever. And she looked kind of cute, you know. And I was like, whatever.
It has nothing to do with looks. It's they're well, right. messed up in the head. They're sick.
Right, but so I didn't just totally dismiss her right away, which was probably the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. And so she laughed or whatever. And later that night, I also had a side job. I waited tables because the radio station didn't pay me enough to even live on.
Things haven't changed.
Right. And so the restaurant I waited tables at, there was a parking garage attached to it, and that's where I parked. And so I get off my job waiting tables, and I walk out of the parking garage. Of course, it's like 12:30 at night, and I'm walking to my car, and she's parked beside my car in the parking garage. And I'm walking up to, and of course I wasn't paying attention. So she opens, she goes, hey, how's it going? I'm like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I just, it took me about 3 hours to find out where you were, but I thought I would come surprise you. And I'm like, well, you did.
Wow.
You did. Yeah. And for, I mean, to the point where, like, you gotta, like, get restraining orders against people, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm poor. Well, you don't want anything to do with. I can't pay my own bills.
That's right. You know, I'm gonna give you CDs. That's all I offer.
Right. And you don't even really want those.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's a strange business.
It is.
It's a really weird business.
But we love it.
Thank you guys for doing this.
Oh, it was a blast.
Thank you guys. I love your place.
Yeah, and it's nice. It's a long time coming. It's been a dream. It really is a total dream. I mean, this is what we're doing is what, you know, I can't speak for you guys, but for other radio people that we talk to, it's what they would love to be able to do.
Right.
You know, it's to have your own place, do your own thing. You are your own boss. You either go down with the ship or you have the successes and you get what's really rightfully yours and not doing great. I mean, how many times would you do something and you work for someone and it's awesome. It's unbelievable. But someone else is making all the money and right. they had very little to do with why people are listening.
Something Big D said whenever we first, so now we're going to get deep, but it's, whenever we
I think
first,
we should. I think I think to balance out the content.
After we decided
you might want to end with a prayer.
We may. After we decided that we were gonna, you know, do this and we started looking into it, Big D said something that still sticks with me. I think I've said it 100 times now. But he said, you know, if you're not working for your dreams and your goals, you're working for somebody else's.
Yep.
And it hit me. I'm like, that's why we're doing this.
I'm going home and quitting.
Both of you ought to go home. You go to Denver and just walk in.
Why
and
do
go.
You guys not buy radio stations?
Well, it gets back to that Taco Bell.
Oh, that's
that. That was a two-pronged method. A, it was to try to meet girls, and B, it was because you were hungry. I didn't hear in that story how the producer gave her your money for the Taco Bell. That's not what was happening.
Well, maybe we should.
I heard that he took the ugly girl's food and brought it to you.
That's the way it ended. That's it. Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry, dear Lord.
Can we all let's have a
dear
prayer
Lord,
right now?
Father. I'm sorry for those shallow moments in my life. Everybody has those moments, I would assume. For those who don't, good for them. For me, myself, I am sorry for that, and I ask for forgiveness. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray for blessings on you guys as you go back home, for your lives and for your careers. And you're just good people, and it's good to have you guys as friends and in a crazy business. You got Eddie Haskell from Denver, KYGO.
Thank you.
Eddie! one of the best, JR, at K92 in Orlando.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. As we conclude another podcast, thank you. Bye.